Oh, why ever would we open with that? Simple. That inanimate object is 105 today. Maybe they'll tie a birthday balloon around her neck like they did in the tournament a few years ago. Poor woman had a balloon animal duct taped to her arm. She didn't even know what day it was.
Translation, that's Mike's way of saying happy birthday, Sister Jean.
Go away, Sister Jean. Serious note before we get into serious matters. There is no one in this room that's interested in living to 105, is there?
No.
If living is doing what she's doing, I want no part of that.
As I told you, when all of a sudden you can't have any independence, when you're totally relying upon somebody to bathe you and feed you, and the quality of life is gone.
When a tuba player ties balloon animals to you and you can't fight them off.
Yeah, I don't want to.
That's a problem.
Hey, let's just sit and roll him in front of the window so he can just stare at the birds for a few hours. No, that's not living anymore.
105. You know the Green Bay Packers were created 10 days before she was born? That's how old that lady is. That's old, man. Then we have serious things
to
do.
You're going to miss her when she's gone.
No, I won't. Might actually be able to root for Loyola again. You know what? I don't know if I'm supposed to say this. I'll just tell you. I've heard she's not very nice.
She's 105.
I'm just telling you.
How many old people are really nice?
I've heard she's very aware of where the cameras are. That's all I'm going to tell you from some of my college basketball people.
Oh.
And Sister Jean, not so wholesome.
So she's Magic Johnson.
Uh-oh. All right, so let's get into this. 3 o'clock, we are going to do something very enjoyable. For years, I've talked about how the man to my left has ruined college football. He has destroyed the very fabric of the sport that has been, for years, the sweatshirt of our falls. He has taken the fabric and just pulled it away. But today, we are going to go to the other end of the spectrum. We are mere days away from week zero, and we are going to do a draft of all the things we love about college football. Some of the things Rico's yet to destroy or the networks are yet to destroy. But we're going to get to it at 3 o'clock. What we're not going to do is 3 hours of backup quarterback talk. I have one thing I have to start with, though. May I?
You may.
Last night, Tigers played the Cubs in Chicago. Cool environment. I love Wrigley. You know, if you think it's just a tourist trap, that's fine. It's a cool window to the past. Fine. They did a huge presentation for Javi Baez. Rightfully so. He was a hero of the 2016 World Series run. He hasn't been back to Wrigley. So, okay. Javi proceeded to go 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts and 4 of the laziest at-bats you'll ever see. And it's really, really interesting that as I was suffering through the television broadcast, you really start thinking about all the kids are here. All the kids they have that aren't named Clark and McGonagall are here. And the product is still terrible, but that's a separate discussion for a separate day. And then there's this thing at shortstop. It's like a barnacle on the bottom of a boat, and you just can't scrape it off. It's Javi Baez.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to think about this, and you go, okay, season's over. If the first thing they do this offseason is not to buy out Javi Baez, how could anyone take this franchise seriously? Now, I know you and David are even a step ahead of me. You say he shouldn't play the rest of the year, that he got his tribute from the Cubs, that he embarrassed himself again on the field. His OPS is about to go below 500, by the way, which is mathematically impossible.
But think about this. Different situation, different circumstance, but what's the difference if you're going to power down Tarik Skubal? Why are you putting Javi out there every day?
Right. Buy him out now. Buy him out later. Just buy him out. I'm with you.
Or even if, okay, Javi, you're going to be on the team for the rest of the year, but you could go ahead and take a vacation now.
I like that you're selling it as a vacation. I dig that.
Yeah.
But I'm being serious. Look, whatever problems this team has, and there are many, and solutions we can offer you, there are some. I think the one unifying thing that all of us can get behind is there is no way we can respect Scott Harris or Chris Illich if this man's in a Tiger uniform next year. Now, I'm sorry. You know, when Scott Harris did the Slumber Party podcast with Jason Benetti talking about how Javi still has value defensively, no, he doesn't. You can just stop. You're not being honest. Just stop. At the time of his previous injury, he had a negative eight defensive run saved. Mm-hmm. We can stop. Javi is historically having the single worst season in the history of baseball. That's not hyperbole. It's factual. Okay? I want to know from you guys. If they don't buy this guy out, how could you possibly root for this team? How could you possibly give them your money and your time and your emotion?
It becomes disingenuous to your fan base. Like you can't sell ticket packages knowing that one of the things they're going to be seeing is Javi Baez at shortstop. No, it's an injustice. It's wrong. You cannot do this again. There is no way you could justify bringing him back. He's not blocking anybody because he's not doing anything. You would be better just putting an orange cone out there at short. You would get the same war.
Tiger shortstop brought to you by MDOT.
Right.
Just a construction barrel, right, with the blinking light, and you duct tape the hat to the top of the light.
That's it.
I mean, I got news for you. That's pretty much what you got with Colt Keith at second. Save that for another day. He can hit, but come on now. We got to move him to first. I digress. 248-539-9797.
Maybe not. Maybe your first baseman's back. He came back from the minors.
Right, and now he's a slap hitter. Awesome. So I would love to know. But the Javi thing still upsets me.
Oh, yeah.
Because watching it, look, I can root for Dingler and Young and Keith and Green, Kerry Bonds. You can find a way to go, all right, let me at least watch this. But when Javi comes up and he has the worst at-bats you'll see all week, and you're just going, why are they still doing this to us?
I got you. If I bought into the 1935 club, I'd be very angry next year.
It is the 1901 society. Like, if Oklahoma State football can have a QPC code to donate to the NIL, why can't the Tigers just rock one of those for the Javi Fund? You just donate your money, and it launches Javi out of a cannon. Like, set the figure in center field where the cars are, and you just have a meter, and we can track the progress. And when we cross the threshold, no matter where Javi is, there's like rocket packs attached to him, and you just hit the button and gone. But it hits you, man.
Sandman from Showtime at the Apollo come out with the hook.
Yes. I mean, David, you wanted the guy gone like now.
Correct.
Now that he got his ceremonial welcome back to Wrigley, you don't want to see him the rest of the year.
No, I do not want to see him the rest of the year, because while I get it, these games don't matter. They are way behind. They're not making the playoffs. But when you are down 3-1 with a man on third and you have a chance to keep the game alive, and you continue to put this man out there and he does that, cannot have it. As a fan, why would I care? Why would I sit here and say, you know what? Yeah, I'm watching tomorrow. Why would I watch tomorrow when you're telling me you don't care about me?
David, right. When all of a sudden, you lead the inning off with a triple, and then you're like, okay, the young guys
Correct.
Are getting hits. Dude. You start feeling good about the team, and then he comes up to bat.
And it's like,
then
oh,
you remember,
here we go again.
Oh, yeah, my life sucks.
That's a great way to put it. You're like, we don't have a chance. My life sucks.
You know, I'm kind of enjoying this Tiger game. My life sucks.
It feels that way.
Right, like, okay, Torque came back from the minors. Okay, he's getting some hits. He's okay, yeah, you know what? I see.
And then
my life sucks.
But I'm being serious. Here's the other thing that has me a little bit concerned. Because you're yet to see anything leak out of the Tiger organization. There was a report in The Athletic. They did a kind of a Q&A, and it was, we don't necessarily see any big expenditures. And I go, uh-oh. Because Javi in and of itself is a big expenditure. But between Javi and Maeda, if they're going to earn your money next year and your time, there's no world where Javi Baez is a member of this team. And moreover, there's no world I can go into next year with Young at third, Keith at second, no shortstop, and no first baseman. These are some expensive problems I have to fix. Mm-hmm. Maybe Keith goes to first. Well, now I need a second baseman. Okay, fine. Young can't play third. We'll put him back to second. fine. Still need a shortstop, third baseman. Still need an outfielder. So, and, oh, and by the way, a Flaherty replacement slash Job's pitching 90 innings next year, 100 innings next year. So I just, for me, this is the litmus test. It will come down to this. But I'm with Rico. It affects me to watch this team and see Javi Baez. And for him to go out and go 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts again and to be having the worst season ever. If the kids are up, play the kids.
Yeah.
Do I think Sweeney is anything special? No. Do I think he'll be an everyday shortstop at any point in life? No. Play him. Play him. Because you can't keep putting this thing out there. What point are they trying to prove? If it's not about a mandate that you have to play him, then why would you play him?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking. And don't give me this, he's a calming force in the clubhouse. Put a sock in it. 248-539-9797. We got the college football, things we love about the sport that Rico hasn't killed, draft. We're going to do that at 3. We've got football today's to get to. We even might have a little Lions thing. It depends how upset at Jim Costa I am. So we got a lot to do on a very, very busy Wednesday. We'll get to your phone calls next. 97.1. All right, 97.1, good to have you with us. We will get to some football, 2:45. We're having a conversation, though, because I last night it was like, all right, there, after the Cubs gave Javi his welcome home, thank you for 2016, you've officially run out of any reason to ever play Javi Baez again, ever. Proceeds to go 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts. Now, I said one thing, which you could take as no bleep, except the organization has shown no willingness or not even a hint that they would discuss it. I mean, Scott Harris got on these airwaves and said they have had no discussions about it. Now, I know he's not going to tell you if they did. The point is, Javi Baez should never play here again. And at a minimum, it's the first thing they do this offseason. Strike 3, and with that, the season is over. Breaking news, Tigers buyout Javi Baez. But even more, if you're going to play the kids, and we're going to tune in and watch, why do we have to look at him? When you look at some of the numbers, it is astonishing. Look, lots of players are bad. Baseball's really hard. But if I told you a guy was hitting 220, you'd be like, oh boy. His on-base percentage is 220.
Like, Mike, the man doesn't know what a strike is. As he sits there and watches balls go right down the middle of the plate, I'm not going to swing at those. Oh, wait, 3 feet outside? I got this. Hey, AJ, watch this.
I mean, his slugging percentage is 294. His OPS is a jaw-dropping 514. The worst in baseball history, I think, was like 540. We should not be subjected to this. And by the way, why would you ever put this guy and have him be around young players as if he's any example of what anything? You know what Javi is? Javi's like when you bring the drug addict to class and they say, don't do drugs and mess your life up like me. You send Javi into the clubhouse and you say, don't end up like me, kids. Slider 8 feet outside of the zone.
Javi wearing the sandwich board.
Right. I'm a negative 1.5 war player. Don't do what I did, kids.
Mike, I'm so glad you said that because Scott Harris was parading around after they brought up all these guys and saying, you know, the coaching staff here, they'll be able to teach them this and teach them that and work with them on this. And yet you have this guy in the locker room saying, hey, guys, come over here. So it's going to negate anything the coaching staff is telling you.
It's just silly. It really is. And here's one. We like OPS plus, right? 100 means you're a league average bat. What do you think Javi's OPS plus is?
100's a leader bat.
No, that's a league average.
Oh.
27.
Okay, take it easy.
Okay. Really, though?
43. He's 57% worse than a league average player. That's right. Every time Javi comes up, that should be the walk-up music. Now batting eighth. Javi Baez. David, ticket text. We'll get to
Because the last night you're sitting there watching, like, okay, this Once again, young players hitting the ball, future.
And the pitching is not bad. They have one human being who's a pitcher, and they're holding teams under four runs.
Right, you're not going to the playoffs, but yeah, it's okay. 2025 could be promising.
Rico comes home. He's the average Detroiter. He sits in his Barca lounger, puts his feet up, game's on, and here comes Javi. It's the truth. It's so insulting. David, what do the ticket texters have to say?
Baez looked like the gas house goons trying to hit Bugs Bunny's slow ball pitch. LOL. That is from Dave. From Jason in a car, he says, they need to shut the airplane door before Javi gets on the plane back from Chicago. I think we would be better off with an eight-man lineup. At least Keith or Torque might get an extra base hit. The fact that AJ lets Baez hit in the ninth inning makes him a buffoon and wrong for the job, any job, that was ridiculous to put him up there.
Look, it's one of these two things, and you choose your adventure. They're either unwilling to bench him for good and never see him again or jettison him, or they're not allowed. It's just one of those two. Yeah. There's nothing else. Let's go to the people. We'll see what they have to say. Spencer's going to bat lead off today on a Wednesday. Spencer, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, not too bad. How are you guys?
Good.
Hey, man.
Yeah, so I'm a Michigan transplant. I live in Chicago now, and I went to the game last night. Have tickets for tonight as well, actually. And I thought the presentation was fine. He did a lot in Chicago, and, mm-hmm. you know, there was a dad and his son with matching Baez jerseys in front of me, Cubs, of course. But, I mean, it's offensive. Like, the fact that these pitchers don't even take him seriously. In the ninth inning, besides a 96-mile-an-hour fastball in the dirt, it was four sliders. Like, they don't take him seriously at all. And there's really not much else to say about it. It's just.
But Spencer, if they don't buy him out in the offseason and they trot him out there on opening day next year, how can you take them seriously as a franchise?
It's the same way I feel about the Pistons. It's apathy. Yeah. I'd be apathetic.
Yeah, and you can be excited about youth, but let's not get it twisted. The only guys I know that can actually hit on an everyday basis right now is Green and Keith. And the truth is, Keith needs a position. Other than that, you're just projecting hope out there if you think this is your starting nine next year and it's going to lead you to 95 wins. I give them all the credit in the world as an organization that I can put some blind faith in pitching. Chris Fetter, Scott Harris, AJ, the Brain Trust, they've proven it again and again. They can find arms. I am woefully underwhelmed with their plan or lack thereof offensively. I mean, again, they have Skubal and four bullpen days. This is a franchise. What they're doing is incredible pitching-wise. Holding teams under four runs. Mm. Rico, they can't hit.
Right. But that's been the story all season long. And that's what...
That's why they have to spend. You can't have this endless rebuild.
Well, that's why it's enjoyable watching this game, because you're seeing the core, the young guys, do well. Which now means that Scott he's got to make good on his promises, and he's got to go out there in the offseason and spend some money.
Yeah, and it can't be Reese Hoskins. You can't have a B-minus signing and trot it out to your fans that you've just acquired Roy Hobbs. Like,
they will get Chapman this offseason.
Okay, we're done. That ship sailed. John 97.1. Johnny, how are you, buddy?
Doing good. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm with Rico and David on this one. I mean, I don't ever want to see Harvey again. I mean, he doesn't provide anything, and they're like, oh, his defense. It's like, it's not like he's out here on some gold glove season, you know, defensively. And, you know, I don't follow the team that much. I look at the box scores every now and then, and I looked this morning, and I'm like going through. I'm like, oh, Torque, you know, 4-for-4. Oh, that's nice to see, even though it's a bunch of, you know, singles.
Hey, John, we'll take it, okay? We'll take that.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's something's better than nothing coming from him. But then I get to the bottom of the lineup, and I see 0-for-4. I mean, that's not surprising. Let's click and see, you know, how he got out.
What's the anatomy of this?
and it's like four straight strikeouts. And I'm like, it's embarrassing. And you guys are talking about how, you know, the coaching staff, you know, you're trying to mentor these young kids, and you're trying to show the kids the right way. And it's honestly nice to see that the kids are playing well enough, you know, like you said, with one pitcher, you know, they're kind of hanging in there right around 500. And it's just like, what is this guy teaching them? You know what I mean? It's not like they got Miguel Cabrera, even though he was a dead corpse his last couple of years. At least, like, he's a proven hitter, one of the best hitters this league, or the team, you know, in this league has ever seen. You know, he could teach them something. This guy, it's just, it's a joke.
And from a DFA perspective, from a buyout perspective, I understand why they didn't want to do it to Miggy. He's a legend. Javi Baez has no pedigree here. He has no magical moments here. He's nothing.
Brother, he could have been on a four-month vacation a long time ago. This wasn't going to improve. No. It wasn't going to get better.
He's a negative 1.5 war player. You're helping the other team every night you put him out there. That is maddening. And for a man like Scott Harris, who is intelligent, who is analytics-based, who adores mathematics, that is not something you would run to do unless you're not allowed to do it. And I can't prove that. I'm saying it's this or that.
No, but Mike, I think if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck,
it in fact might be a duck.
Yeah.
Get to football at 2:45 and then kind of a payoff for all the slander we have offered towards Rico Beard and what he's done to our once beloved college football. Today instead,
you're going to do the show solo? I can leave? All right. See
you could, in fact,
guys,
do that.
All right.
All right. I mean, I'll get by. The point is, we're going to celebrate the things that Rico hasn't ruined yet. And we are going to have our college football fandom draft. We're going to do it top of the hour. Fun. Sure beats talking backup quarterbacks and nonsense. We got some great production elements. And Rico's going to learn what a cockaboose is. It's going to be a very exciting 3 o'clock.
Kenny, it's your favorite thing, right? No? Your favorite thing?
What?
Cockaboose?
No, he didn't even know what it means.
Oh. I'm pretty familiar about what it means.
Well, actually, you're right. Country. It is. It's an SEC-based tradition. Yeah. All right, we'll get there. Let's go to the people, though. Last night, Baez, 0-for-4, 4Ks. Got the standing ovation from the Cub fans, his final farewell. You got to just sit him down the rest of the year. Nobody wants to look at him. You could buy him. If I owned the team, I would have bought him out in July. The point is, if this guy were to emerge from this dugout next spring, how could you possibly respect your baseball team?
You can't. There's just nothing. It's at that point, you're disingenuous to your paying customers.
Let's go to the people. See what they have to say about it. We'll go to Matt, 97.1. Matty, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. You know, so I actually think there is an alternative, and I think it's worse, unfortunately, than the ones you presented. I think they're consciously trying not to lose, but to not win. I think when we focused on, you know, Scott Harris's quotes about, you know, blocking the kids, it wasn't about, you know, Matt Chapman blocking Young. It was about being bad enough so that you can play the kids. Because otherwise, if you were in the race right now, right, if we were 2 games back, you wouldn't have called up Jahan when you did, probably. You certainly wouldn't have called up Young and Sweeney when you did. You would have to be trying to scrape together wins, and you'd have to be, you know, trying to win games. They don't want to win games right now. And if, to your point, if Javi Baez is our shortstop next year, they don't want to win games next year either. Because Scott Harris wants as much time as he can to play the, hey, I'm building a foundation card. Look at the farm system. We're ranked number 5 and all those things. Anything he can do to drag that time out is to his benefit.
Right.
And if the owner lets him, that's the owner's fault.
So, Matt, I'm not arguing your theory. I'm saying,
yeah.
What do you think my reaction to that is?
Oh, it's the appropriate reaction. We shouldn't care or give them any of our time. Now, listen, I love baseball. It's hard to ignore it, right? So you go in angry and you say, you know, whatever. I'm not going to pay any attention. I'm not going to give them any of my time. And then you do. You check a box score. You go to a game with your kid. You know, you get the 5-foot daiquiri or whatever the hell people do, and then you enjoy the game, right? Mm-hmm. Or you get the 1926 suckers to pay the, you know, to bridge you till you're actually good. However you want to do it, it's fine. But I just think it sucks because, to your point, Mike, if you're paying attention and you're looking at what Scott is telling you with his actions, right? When people tell you who they are, you believe them. He's telling you that they're not winning this year. And if he's here again next year, then he's telling you they're not winning next year.
Yeah, and that's the problem I have in all of this, Matt, is that, look, I thought if they had done things within reason, but certainly with urgency, they could have been a playoff team this year. Let's say you disagree with me. Yeah. Fine. I'm not mad at you. I'm not calling anybody any names in that regard. But there is no case to be made that the goal next year and the modus operandi for this franchise is anything other than we have to make the playoffs. The idea that we will waste another year and it'll be 11 years in. I'm sorry if you're willing to tolerate that, good for you. But you're not allowed to yell at me that I'm not.
No, because here's what happened. You were gone last Friday and we were talking and I felt like, I'm like, they suckered me in because I want to see the young players. And I know this team's going nowhere, but we got nothing else to do until September. So they brought up Jace Young
and Sweeney.
Yeah, and they brought him up that day and they put him immediately in the lineup. And I'm like, you know what, David? I actually want to watch this game. I want to see what they're going to do. I don't expect them to come out here and turn it around and look like Hall of Famers, but it piqued my interest again. And then, like I said, you're watching the guys get hits. Dingler, you're watching Torque looking like, okay, you're getting hits again. And then Bias just gets up there, and it reminds you of everything that was wrong with this season. And you forget about the hope of 2025, and you remember the pain and anguish of 2024.
The fact that he hit in the ninth inning last night is still unbelievable to me. Now, I don't want to make, you know, a mountain out of a molehill, but, like, for God's sakes, the guy's lost at the plate. I'd rather have one of the bat boys take a swing.
Yeah.
Go to Johnny, 97.1. Johnny, how you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Mike?
Excellent. What's on your mind?
I'm just sick of the Tigers not being a real organization. I think if they were like other organizations, like, for example, the Astros, who got rid of Jose Abreu, I think that's a great comp in terms of, you know, this guy was a 30 home run, 100 RBI guy every year. And they said, man, this guy sucks. We got rid of him. And I'm tired of the Tigers not making any of these moves. And I'm just ready to become a real organization again. It just feels insulting to me.
So let's go this route. All right, let's say they continue playing him this year, right? But they don't DFA him in the offseason. Are you able to watch this team with anything other than vitriol?
No.
Yeah, that's where
I'm at. Every time I look at the product, you know, I feel embarrassed or it's just awful looking at
Johnny,
Bobby
Bias
every time because of the play.
Let me ask you this question, and I want Rico to answer this too, because it's through talking, something has popped in my mind, and it just doesn't it feel, fellas, like we have arrived at the Tigers are now a small market baseball team, that they are operating as such, or is that slanderous on my part?
No, because when you're constantly saying what are you doing, and I it feels like you're not really trying to put the best effort out there, then that does feel very small market. Like
Johnny,
the only thing missing now is, you know, especially when you see all the, hey, it's the Star Wars day and it's this day. And it's just like, how about let's win a game day?
Johnny, what do you think? Am I crossing a line there? Or are you starting to feel like, you know what?
No,
we're a small market team.
No, absolutely. I mean, if we don't look in free agency and look for these big players, or not even big players, but guys that can make an impact, I think you can absolutely say that we're approaching the territory of not becoming, you know, at least not a mid-market team, a small market team.
And look, I'm not telling you every free agent's a good free agent, but like an example, I'm not going to attach myself to this name. I'm not pounding the desk for it. I don't want to hear any BS. I'm giving you an example. But like if you brought Alex Bregman here and that's your third baseman, I mean, at least you're saying to your fan, now I don't think he's perfect. I'm making a point. You can't offer me Roddy Tellez as our answer at first base next year. Like, come on, guys. 1901 Society. Let's talk. Like, we got to have a product.
1966.
Okay, just go. We'll give Mike the final word, and then we're going to move to football. Mike, thanks for your patience. What's going on?
Yeah, can you hear me? I got headphones on. I'm not sure if it's coming clear.
You're good. It just sounds like you're
it sounds muffled.
It sounds all like right. You're rolling dice.
All right, hang on.
All right.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, loud and clear, brother. Welcome. What's up?
I'm out cutting grass. I normally don't call in. You know, I'm not a call-in person, but
you know, I got a different perspective on this.
Okay.
Let me start off by saying I think Javi Baez is not a good player anymore, and he does need to be gone next year. However, how did the Lions make their turnaround? The culture, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so they brought the kids up. That's what we've been asking for. I don't think Javi played in the Yankee series. They told us that Javi would be playing in this series to give him his flowers. You know, he was part of the World Series. We shouldn't be up in arms about him playing in this series. We, you guys all admit this, the season's over. We're not making the playoffs. So they're building the, they're showing the faith in, or that they care about their players by letting Javi play. I know it's, we don't like it because he's bad, but you know, it's just a different perspective. I don't know. No, I just, not, I disagree
Mike,
with
Mike. No one's mad about it. Like, as far as what you're saying, you have every right to say that. And you might be right, but what I would argue is, once you brought the kids up, it is insulting to everyone involved. There is no one on the player side, the agent side, team side, no one would blink if the Tigers simply said, please go away. I mean, they showed Miggy all the respect in the world. I don't think the Tigers have a bad reputation or anything like that. So I just don't think it's necessary here. That's all.
But wouldn't you say, though, that, like, the, like we both agreed, the culture building and the turning the culture around is number one. And by just throwing someone away to the, you know, yeah, it can't be easy on Javi. I mean, he's a human. It cannot be easy what he's going. I don't think he wants to be bad.
Nobody does.
He just
You're
did.
Right on that. No, he doesn't wake up in the morning going, let me be the worst player in history.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I agree completely.
There is a human behind it.
I agree. But when you say culture, my argument would be, what culture are you fostering when this guy's allowed to play?
Right. Because the culture should be, okay, if you're not getting the job done,
you're not
helping us, you can't be here.
248-539-9797. Let's get to football. We'll touch on the NFL next. Wait just a minute. I've been duped. College football, and let me guess, the man who's ruined the sport presenting it.
Yep. That's me.
Go ahead.
Michael, we're going to have a little bit of fun today. College football, week zero starts on Saturday. We've talked teams. Let's talk individuals. Let's talk what the Vegas betting odds, according to FanDuel,
okay,
for winning the Heisman Trophy, for being declared the best player in college football for this season. You want to start going top down or from the bottom up?
Start with the longest odds and go to the favorite.
All right. Well, I did this one just for you, David. The Don. Donovan Edwards himself. Any guesses on his odds?
Guesses on the Don's.
Get to football at 245, and then kind of a payoff for all the slander we have offered towards Rico Beard and what he's done to our once beloved college football. Today, instead.
You going to do the show solo? I can leave? All right. See
you could, in fact,
guys,
do that.
All right.
All right. I mean, I'll get by. The point is, we're going to celebrate the things that Rico hasn't ruined yet. And we are going to have our college football fandom draft. We're going to do it top of the hour. Fun. Sure beats talking backup quarterbacks and nonsense. We got some great production elements. And Rico's going to learn what a cockaboose is. It's going to be a very exciting 3 o'clock.
Kenny, it's your favorite thing, right? No. Your favorite thing?
What?
Cockaboose.
No, he didn't even know what it means.
Oh. I'm pretty familiar about what it means.
Well, actually, you're right. Country. It is. It's an SEC-based tradition. Yeah. All right, we'll get there. Let's go to the people, though. Last night, Baez, 0 for 4, 4Ks. He got the standing ovation from the Cub fans, his final farewell. You got to just sit him down the rest of the year. Nobody wants to look at him. You could buy him. If I owned the team, I would have bought him out in July. The point is, if this guy were to emerge from this dugout next spring, how could you possibly respect your baseball team?
You can't. There's just nothing. It's at that point, you're disingenuous to your paying customers.
Let's go to the people. See what they have to say about it. We'll go to Matt, 97.1. Matty, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. You know, so I actually think there is an alternative, and I think it's worse, unfortunately, than the ones you presented. I think they're consciously trying not to lose, but to not win. I think when we focused on, you know, Scott Harris's quotes about, you know, blocking the kids, it wasn't about, you know,
Matt Chapman blocking Young. It was about being bad enough so that you can play the kids. Because otherwise, if you were in the race right now, right, if we were two games back, you wouldn't have called up Jahan when you did probably. You certainly wouldn't have called up Young and Sweeney when you did. You would have to be trying to scrape together wins, and you'd have to be, you know, trying to win games. They don't want to win games right now. And if, to your point, if Javi Baez is our shortstop next year, they don't want to win games next year either. Because Scott Harris wants as much time as he can to play the, hey, I'm building a foundation card. Look at the farm system. We're ranked number 5 and all those things. Anything he can do to drag that time out is to his benefit. Right. And if the owner lets him, that's the owner's fault.
So, Matt, I'm not arguing your theory. I'm saying,
yeah.
What do you think my reaction to that is?
Oh, it's the appropriate reaction. Shouldn't care or give them any of our time. Now, listen, I love baseball. It's hard to ignore it, right? So you go in angry and you say, whatever. I'm not going to pay any attention. I'm not going to give them any of my time. And then you do. You check a box score. You go to a game with your kid. You know, you get the 5-foot daiquiri or whatever the hell people do. And then you enjoy the game, right? Mm-hmm. Or you get the 1926 suckers to pay the, you know, to bridge you till you're actually good. However you want to do it, it's fine. But I just think it sucks because, to your point, Mike, if you're paying attention and you're looking at what Scott is telling you with his actions, right? When people tell you who they are, you believe them. He's telling you that they're not winning this year. And if he's here again next year, then he's telling you they're not winning next year either.
Yeah, and that's the problem I have in all of this, Matt, is that, look, I thought if they had done things within reason, but certainly with urgency, they could have been a playoff team this year. Let's say you disagree with me. Yeah. Fine, I'm not mad at you. I'm not calling anybody any names in that regard. But there is no case to be made that the goal next year and the modus operandi for this franchise is anything other than we have to make the playoffs. The idea that we will waste another year and it'll be 11 years in. I'm sorry, if you're willing to tolerate that, good for you. But you're not allowed to yell at me that I'm not.
No, because here's what happened. You were gone last Friday and we were talking and I felt like, I'm like, they suckered me in because I want to see the young players. And I know this team's going nowhere, but we got nothing else to do until September. So they bring up Jace Young
and Sweeney.
Yeah. And they brought him up that day and they put him immediately in the lineup. And I'm like, you know what, David? I actually want to watch this game. I want to see what they're going to do. I don't expect them to come up here and turn it around and look like Hall of Famers, but it piqued my interest again. And then, like I said, you're watching the guys get hits. Dingler, you're watching Torque looking like, okay, you're getting hits again. And then Bias just gets up there, and it reminds you of everything that was wrong with this season. And you forget about the hope of 2025, and you remember the pain and anguish of 2024.
The fact that he hit in the ninth inning last night is still unbelievable to me. Now, I don't want to make, you know, a mountain out of a molehill, but, like, for God's sakes, the guy's lost at the plate. I'd rather one of the bat boys take a swing.
Yeah.
Go to Johnny, 97.1. Johnny, how you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Mike?
Excellent. What's on your mind?
I'm just sick of the Tigers not being a real organization. I think if they were like other organizations, like, for example, the Astros, who got rid of Jose Abreu, I think that's a great comp in terms of, you know, this guy was a 30 home run, 100 RBI guy every year. And they said, man, this guy sucks. We got rid of him. And I'm tired of the Tigers not making any of these moves. And I'm just ready to become a real organization again. It just feels insulting to me.
So let's go this route. All right. Let's say they continue playing him this year. Right. But they don't DFA him in the offseason. Are you able to watch this team with anything other than vitriol?
No.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Every time I look at the product, you know, I feel embarrassed or it's just awful looking
Let me ask you this question, and I want Rico to answer this too, because it's through talking, something has popped in my mind, and it just doesn't it feel, fellas, like we have arrived at the Tigers are now a small market baseball team, that they are operating as such? Or is that slanderous on my part?
No, because when you're constantly saying, what are you doing? And I it feels like you're not really trying to put the best effort out there. Then that does feel very small market. Like,
Johnny,
the only thing missing now is, you know, especially when you see all the, hey, it's the Star Wars day and it's this day. And it's just like, how about let's win a game day?
Johnny, what do you think? Is that, am I crossing a line there? Or are you starting to feel like, you know, no, what? No, we're a small market team.
No, absolutely. I mean, if we don't, you know, if we don't look in free agency and look for these big players, or not even big players, but guys that can make an impact, I think you can absolutely say that we're not, we're approaching the territory of not becoming, you know, at least not a mid-market team, a small market team.
And look, I'm not telling you every free agent's a good free agent, but like an example, I'm not going to attach myself to this name. I'm not pounding the desk for it. I don't want to hear any BS. I'm giving you an example. But like, if you brought Alex Bregman here and that's your third baseman, I mean, at least you're saying to your fan, now, I don't think he's perfect. I'm making a point. You can't offer me Roddy Tellez as our answer at first base next year. Like, come on, guys. 1901 Society. Let's talk. Like, we got to have a product.
1966.
Okay, just go. We'll give Mike the final word, and then we're going to move to football. Mike, thanks for your patience. What's going on?
Yeah, can you hear me? I got headphones on. I'm not sure if I'm coming clear.
You're good. It just sounds like you're
it sounds muffled.
You're rolling dice.
All right, hang on.
All right.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, loud and clear, brother. Welcome. What's
up? I'm out cutting grass. I normally don't call in. You know, I'm not a call-in person, but I got a different perspective on this.
Okay.
Let me start off by saying I think Javi Baez is not a good player anymore, and he does need to be gone next year. However, how did the Lions make their turnaround? The culture, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so they brought the kids up. That's what we've been asking for. I don't think Javi played in the Yankee series. They told us that Javi would be playing in this series to give him his flowers. You know, he was part of the World Series. We shouldn't be up in arms about him playing in this series. You guys all admit this. The season's over. We're not making the playoffs. So they're they're showing the faith in, or that they care about their players by letting Javi play. I know we don't like it because he's bad, but you know, it's just a different perspective. I don't know.
Mike, no one's mad about it. Like, as far as what you're saying, you have every right to say that. And you might be right, but what I would argue is, once you brought the kids up, it is insulting to everyone involved. There is no one on the player side, the agent side, team side, no one would blink if the Tigers simply said, please go away. I mean, they showed Miggy all the respect in the world. I don't think the Tigers have a bad reputation or anything like that. So I just don't think it's necessary here. That's all.
But wouldn't you say, though, that like we both agreed, the culture building and turning the culture around is number one. And by just throwing someone away to the, you know, yeah, it can't be easy on Javi. I mean, he's a human. It cannot be easy what he's going. I don't think he wants to be bad.
Nobody does.
You're right
on that. No, he doesn't wake up in the morning going, let me be the worst player in history.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree.
There completely is a human behind it.
I agree. But when you say culture, my argument would be, what culture are you fostering when this guy's allowed to play?
Right. Ever. Because the culture should be, okay, if you're not getting the job done, you're not helping us, you can't be here.
248-539-9797. Let's get to football. We'll touch on the NFL next. Wait just a minute. I've been duped. College football, and let me guess, the man who's ruined the sport presenting it.
Yep. That's me.
Go ahead.
Michael, we're going to have a little bit of fun today. College football, week zero starts on Saturday. We've talked teams. Let's talk individuals. Let's talk what the Vegas betting odds, according to FanDuel,
okay,
for winning the Heisman Trophy, for being declared the best player in college football for this season. You want to start going top down or from the bottom up?
Start with the longest odds and go to the favorite.
All right. Well, I did this one just for you, David. The Don. Donovan Edwards himself. Any guesses on his odds?
Guesses on the Don's odds.
Million to one.
Plus 2,000.
No, David. That would be plus 10,000.
I didn't want to guess that.
That is
okay.
A 0% chance for a kid who had 350 yards last year rushing, has never been the lead dog, can't stay healthy, and they're replacing five offensive linemen, a quarterback, three of their top four wide receivers, and their win total's the lowest for a defending national champion the next year in like 20 years. Next.
value. All right, next up. KJ Jefferson.
You mean KJ?
I said KJ Jefferson.
Oh, I thought you said JJ Jefferson.
No, I said KJ Jefferson.
Central Florida quarterback.
Odds? Want to take a guess?
Same as Donovan.
No, plus 4,000.
Look, Malzahn's going to use him like Cam Newton when he was at Auburn. He is built like a transformer. Penny Boone, the kid from Toledo, transferred down there. He'll put up stats, but can Central Florida win enough games for him to get to New York? I have some doubts. I think they got a shot to get to 9, but it would take a lot more than that, wouldn't it?
It should. Speaking of winning games, this next guy, he may be there regardless of whether his team wins games or not. It is Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders also sitting there at plus 4,000 odds.
You know my belief.
I just don't see it.
I just have a hard time. Again, let's say Colorado went 6-6. Let's say they beat the win total, made a bowl, and Shedeur put up really nice numbers. Are you going to have a 6-6 in New York, like making and winning the Heisman? I say no to this.
No, because I think at that point it almost spits into the face, because if you were that good, your team would be winning. Because some of it does go with you're winning. Like you can't just be putting
a
video game.
A lot of it goes with you're winning.
Right.
He can't win, so no.
Next is Cam Rising, plus 3,000.
See, now that's value. Because I think they win the Big 12. Put themselves in the college football playoff, puts them in a discussion for a Heisman. So, yes, value there.
Yeah, I mean, look, quarterback of a team that's not that much of a long shot to make the playoff, probably going to win the Big 12 if he can stay healthy. He's got an NFL target in Kuthi. I think the problem is media markets. Will Rico let a guy from Utah win the Heisman? Dicey.
Not me, man. He can win over the West Coast voters. I just got one vote. I'm one man. I don't have that much influence on college football, contrary to what you hear on this show. Next up, let's stay right here in the Big Ten. It is Drew Aller, Penn State quarterback.
Next. Plus 8,000.
You can't win a Heisman if you don't throw a pass more than 3 yards. Air yards.
Okay. Connor Wiegman.
A&M. Stud. I really like him. He's got to stay healthy. But plus 2,000 maybe?
Plus 2,500.
Okay. Look, I don't hate it, but you're going to know right from jump. They have Notre Dame week one in Aggieland.
Yeah. He's tied right now with Avery Johnson, the Kansas State quarterback.
Another kid who can't throw a forward pass, but he's an electric runner. My issue with A&M is who are the receivers.
Yeah.
I know they got Baby Moose there, but they lost Evan Stewart. They lost a lot of their weapons. I got to see that to believe it.
This next one, Mike, I find interesting because you're going to mock this because it's a person that you're not a big fan of.
Okay.
Orgy.
No, he wasn't even on.
Oh, I figured.
Tuttle was, not Orgy. We go Garrett Nussmeier, plus 1,800, LSU quarterback.
They won't win enough games. And I got
you don't think he gets the SEC bump if they just happen to catch a couple people off and beat them?
I think they're going to catch a stray in the opener. I think USC is going to beat them. So
really?
You can do what you want with that.
Cash a ticket exclusive?
I like the plus 6.5. Their defense is morbid. I think it's going to put them in a lot of bad spots. And if they couldn't win enough with Jaden Daniels, how are they going to do it with this kid? And he is not going to be able to do what Jalen did.
True.
So I it's not horrible, but I'm not a believer in LSU this year.
All right, these next ones are all at plus 1,400.
Jackson Dart.
He is one of them. Okay. I like
old threat electric
Ole Miss
offense.
QB.
That's right. Get your battle blues on.
You want to guess the other four while we're doing this?
I want to guess one. Yeah, the Ohio State running back, the transfer.
Quinshon Judkins.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
You do get a bonus for two-tone dreads.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It's incredible.
Ohio State quarterback.
Will Howard.
Plus 1,400.
Wow. Gross. Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan Gabriel, no.
He's shorter odds.
He's shorter odds.
That's fair. Yeah. Quinn Ewers?
Quinn Ewers, no. Shorter odds.
I'm done. Name him.
Jalen Milroe. Kenny's
plus,
guy.
Okay.
If he improves his intermediate passing between 10 and 20 yards, yes. But I have to see it. He's been one of the worst players in Division One on intermediate throws. Great deep ball thrower. But, all right, go ahead.
Tennessee quarterback, we'll just call him Nico I.
No, it's Illamayeva.
Okay.
Is it?
Sure.
A la Ramalama Ding Dong.
And Miami quarterback,
Cam Ward. I wouldn't mind the Cam Ward one. He's a highlight reel.
Looking at the Miami schedule, if they can just get their stuff together and not lose games, you are right. You're looking at a value pick, Cam Ward at plus 1,400 right now.
America's going to be delighted because no one saw him at Washington State. You had to be a nerd like us. Mm-hmm. But he'll be on the big stage, big life, Big Ten. Hey, he'll, that's a value pick.
Okay. Another value pick, if they are back, indeed, Quinn Ewers, quarterback, University of Texas.
I'm all out.
Plus 1,200.
He still goes through long periods of time. His footwork's god-awful. I know he's got his body in shape a little bit more. I got to see who their receivers are. They lost Xavier Worthy. They lost Adonai Mitchell.
Thank you.
Just for you. Today's your day, big guy. I'm out on Ewers, and I'm out on Texas.
Number two, Kenny, you want to take a guess?
Is this where they disrespect Carson Beck?
Carson Beck.
Ah, I knew it.
Plus 800.
How's it disrespect? Elaborate. It's radio.
That should be number one. It was only in jest that I say that. But yeah, no, that's about right. That's about
right. Do you think he's actually going to get enough stats to do it?
I don't, because Kirby Smart is heavy on the run first and heavy on the ground and pound type of style of football. So I just don't think he can put up the counting numbers to be able to accomplish that.
I will say this. The weapons that they have brought to Georgia it's obscene. They went out and got basically a Brock Bowers clone, the kid from Stanford. They got Oscar Delp, so now they got two tight ends.
And they lost Ra-Ra Thomas. Who cares?
Look at who you brought in.
No, you're right. I'm just saying we could have had one more great weapon.
Right. This is some of the best Georgia skill position talent. It's formidable.
Yeah.
Number one is going to be Gabriel.
Dylan Gabriel at plus 550. David, by the way, I did miss out at another one at plus 10,000. Is Alex Orji.
Yeah,
plus 10,000. And in case you're wondering, the Manning, Arch Manning, plus 12,000. So
it is amazing he's still sitting there in today's NIL era. And I know he needed a year to get his body right, played at a small high school. Rico, 2 years?
Yeah. I'll say this. Probably the best thing that you could do is not see this kid, let this kid get bigger and stronger and faster and get ready for college football. He went up against no one.
No. Carson Newman is the high school?
He would get destroyed if they put him out on the field. Now, I know the fans will say, yeah. No, just absolutely not.
It's the same thing as Dante Moore. Dante never should have played last year.
Exactly. And you know what? He's got enough money in the family. He could just ride this thing out, come in as a third or fourth year player and really look like, because we know in college football, one good year can get you to the pros. That's all you need.
Signed Achilles Smith. You win. Yeah. You always do.
That's your college football blitz, Heisman odds style, 97-1.
Wait just a minute. I've been duped. College football, and let me guess, the man who's ruined the sport presenting it.
Yep. That's me.
Go ahead.
Michael, we're going to have a little bit of fun today. College football week 0 starts on Saturday. We've talked teams. Let's talk individuals. Let's talk what the Vegas betting odds, according to FanDuel, for winning the Heisman Trophy, for being declared the best player in college football for this season. You want to start going top down or from the bottom up?
Start with the longest odds and go to the favorite.
All right. Well, I did this one just for you, David. The Don. Donovan Edwards himself. Any guesses on his odds?
Guesses on the Don's odds.
Million to one.
Plus 2,000.
No, David. That would be plus 10,000.
I didn't want to guess that.
That is a 0% chance for a kid who had 350 yards last year rushing, has never been the lead dog, can't stay healthy, and they're replacing five offensive linemen, a quarterback, three of their top four wide receivers, and their win total's the lowest for a defending national champion the next year in like 20 years. Next.
Value. All right, next up. KJ Jefferson.
You mean KJ?
I said KJ Jefferson.
Oh, I thought you said JJ Jefferson.
No, I said KJ Jefferson.
You. Central Florida quarterback.
Yep. Odds? Want to take a guess?
Same as Donovan.
No, plus 4,000.
Look, Malzahn's going to use him like Cam Newton when he was at Auburn. He is built like a transformer. Penny Boone, the kid from Toledo, transferred down there. He'll put up stats, but can Central Florida win enough games for him to get to New York? I have some doubts. I think they got a shot to get to 9, but it would take a lot more than that, wouldn't it?
It should. Speaking of winning games, this next guy, he may be there regardless of whether his team wins games or not. It is Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders also sitting there at plus 4,000 odds.
You know my belief.
I just don't see it.
I just have a hard time. Again, let's say Colorado went 6-6. Let's say they beat the win total, made a bowl, and Shedeur put up really nice numbers. Are you going to have a 6-6 in New York, like making and winning the Heisman? I say no to this.
No, because I think at that point it almost spits into the face, because if you were that good, your team would be winning. Because some of it does go with you're winning. Like, you can't just be putting a video game.
A lot of it goes with you're winning.
Right.
He can't win, so no.
Next is Cam Rising, plus 3,000.
See, now that's value. Because I think they win the Big 12. Put themselves in the college football playoff, puts them in a discussion for a Heisman. So, yes, value there.
Yeah, I mean, look, quarterback of a team that's not that much of a long shot to make the playoff, probably going to win the Big 12 if he can stay healthy. He's got an NFL target in Kuthi. I think the problem is media markets. Will Rico let a guy from Utah win the Heisman? Dicey.
Not me, man. He could win over the West Coast voters. I just got one vote. I'm one man. I don't have that much influence on college football, contrary to what you hear on this show. Next up, let's stay right here in the Big Ten. It is Drew Aller, Penn State quarterback.
Next. Plus 8,000.
You can't win a Heisman if you don't throw a pass more than 3 yards. Air yards.
Okay. Connor Wiegman.
A&M. Stud. I really like him. He's got to stay healthy. But plus 2,000 maybe?
Plus 2,500.
Okay. Look, I don't hate it, but you're going to know right from jump. They have Notre Dame week one. In Aggie land.
Yeah. He's tied right now with Avery Johnson, the Kansas State quarterback.
Another kid who can't throw a forward pass, but he's an electric runner. My issue with A&M is who are the receivers.
Yeah.
I know they got Baby Moose there, but they lost Evan Stewart. They lost a lot of their weapons. I got to see that to believe it.
This next one, Mike, I find interesting because you're going to mock this because it's a person that you're not a big fan of.
Okay.
Orgy.
No. He wasn't even on.
Oh, I figured.
Tuttle was, not Orchie. We go Garrett Nussmeier, plus 1,800, LSU quarterback.
They won't win enough games. And I got.
You don't think he gets the SEC bump if they just happen to catch a couple people off and beat them?
I think they're going to catch a stray in the opener. I think USC is going to beat them. So
really?
You can do what you want with that.
Cash a ticket exclusive?
I like the plus 6.5. Their defense is morbid. I think it's going to put them in a lot of bad spots. And if they couldn't win enough with Jaden Daniels, how are they going to do it with this kid? And he is not going to be able to do what Jalen did.
True.
So I it's not horrible, but I'm not a believer in LSU this year.
All right. These next ones are all at plus 1,400.
Jackson Dart.
He is one of them. Okay. I like
old threat electric
Ole Miss
offense.
QB.
That's right. Get your battle blues on.
You want to guess the other four while we're doing this?
I want to guess one. Yeah, the Ohio State running back, the transfer.
Quinshon Judkins.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
You do get a bonus for two-tone dreads.
That's amazing, but, isn't it?
It's incredible.
Ohio State quarterback.
Will Howard.
Will Howard. Plus 1,400.
Wow.
Gross. Dylan Gabriel.
No.
He's shorter odds.
He's shorter odds.
That's fair. Yeah. Quinn Ewers.
Quinn Ewers. No. Shorter right. odds.
I'm done. Name him.
Jalen Milroe. Kenny's plus, guy.
Okay.
If he improves his intermediate passing between 10 and 20 yards, yes. But I have to see it. He's been one of the worst players in Division One on intermediate throws. Great deep ball thrower. But, all right, go ahead.
Tennessee quarterback, we'll just call him Nico I.
No, it's Ilamayeva.
Okay.
Is it?
Sure.
I'll Ramalama Ding Dong.
And Miami quarterback,
Cam Ward. I wouldn't mind the Cam Ward one. He's a highlight reel.
Looking at the Miami schedule, if they can just get their stuff together and not lose games, you are right. You're looking at a value pick, Cam Ward at plus 1,400 right now.
America's going to be delighted because no one saw him at Washington State. You had to be a nerd like us. Mm-hmm. But he'll be on the big stage, big life, Big Ten. Hey, that's a value pick.
Okay. Another value pick. If they are back, indeed, Quinn Ewers, quarterback, University of Texas.
I'm all out.
Plus 1,200.
He still goes through long periods of time. His footwork's god awful. I know he's got his body in shape a little bit more. I got to see who their receivers are. They lost Xavier Worthy. They lost Adonai Mitchell.
Thank you.
Just for you. Today's your day, big guy. I'm out on Ewers and I'm out on Texas.
Number two, Kenny, you want to take a guess?
Is this where they disrespect Carson Beck?
Carson Beck.
Ah, I knew it.
Plus 800.
How's it disrespect? Elaborate. It's radio.
That should be number one. It was only in jest that I say that. But yeah, no, that's about right. That's about
Do you
right
think he's actually going to get enough stats to do it?
I don't, because Kirby Smart is heavy on the run first and Correct. Heavy on the ground and pound type of style of football. So I just don't think he can put up the counting numbers to be able to accomplish that.
I will say this. The weapons that they have brought to Georgia it's obscene. They went out and got basically a Brock Bowers clone, the kid from Stanford. They got Oscar Delps, and now they got two tight ends.
And they lost Ra-Ra Thomas. Because
who cares? Look at who you brought in.
No, you're right. I'm just saying we could have had one more great weapon.
Right. This is some of the best Georgia skill position talent. It's formidable.
Yeah.
Number one is going to be Gabriel.
Dylan Gabriel at plus 550. David, by the way, I did miss out at another one at plus 10,000 is Alex Orji.
Yeah.
Plus 10,000. And in case you're wondering, the Manning, Arch Manning, plus 12,000. So
it is amazing he's still sitting there in today's NIL era. And I know he needed a year to get his body right, played at a small high school. Rico, 2 years?
Yeah. I'll say this. Probably the best thing that you could do is not see this kid, let this kid get bigger and stronger and faster and get ready for college football. He went up against no one.
No. Carson Newman is the high school?
He would get destroyed if they put him out on the field. Now, I know the fans will say, yeah. No, just absolutely not.
It's the same thing as Dante Moore. Dante never should have played last year.
Exactly. And you know what? He's got enough money in the family. He could just ride this thing out, come in as a third or fourth year player and really look like, because we know in college football, one good year can get you to the pros. That's all you need.
Signed to Kelly Smith. You win. Yeah. You always do.
That's your college football blitz, Heisman odds style, 97-1.